My name is Susan Kerr, as has been introduced, and for you who are new to camp, I've been attending CFO since I was 10 months old. This is my first JFO, so we're all new at this. I come from a family of longtime CFOers. My parents were brought here as children by their parents. They met here. Engaged here? Was that right, Mom? Did you guys get engaged here? She can't hear me. Yes, they got engaged here. That's right. Thought I had that right. And I grew up here, coming every August, back in the time when we came in August, and worked through my childhood, learning all of the different things that this wonderful camp gives us. And then in high school, I brought my then boyfriend to camp, and we have been bringing our children ever since, except for this year. Unfortunately, all three of my children could not make it this year. It's the first time for the two younger ones. But they're adults, and they have exciting adventures. Well, at least two of them have exciting adventures. One has started a new job on June 4th, and my son has started a new job, and he is in Louisiana. And my youngest daughter is in training for a new job in Ohio. My oldest daughter would like to get rid of her job, but can't do that right now. She's looking, but her roommate from college is getting married in October in California, so vacation days are being used for that, so she couldn't be here. But lots of exciting details for the others, so I'd be happy to talk with each of you about them, because, you know, proud mamas like to tell. And so none of them are here, but they're thinking about that. I got a text from Jessica. She's very sad. This is very hard for her to not be here, but exciting things are in store for her. So, speaking of family, I am not the talker in my family. This is way out of my comfort zone. This is, months ago I would have not been thinking here I am standing in front of you. I would rather be right over there behind Nana and Papa, sitting where I normally sit. But Dana called and asked and said, lamplighter talk or orientation talk? We would like you to consider these. And I thought to myself, me? Who am I? Who am I? I've listened to many talks, but who am I to actually give a talk? So I had to think to myself, you know, what would I say? So I thought about it for a couple weeks, and I actually tried to come up with a lamplighter talk. And I just kept hitting this wall and kept hitting this wall, and I emailed Dana, I need a little more time, I don't know what to do. And so I was at the gym, and I'm walking out of the gym, and all of a sudden I just hear this orientation talk. Okay, orientation talk. All right, I can do an orientation talk. I know the routine. I've been here a couple times. I understand the program. I know what's supposed to happen first and next. And even in those years when I was in college and couldn't make it, I could look at my watch and know exactly what everybody was doing at any time during the day. And so I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can come up with an orientation talk. And I have months to come up with this too. So, you know, this was back in April. Camp isn't until July. I've got plenty of time. So I said yes. Then life moves on, and all of a sudden I had 2 weeks before camp. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? I'm not the talker. I'm the listener. One of the best things I learned from my dad was the ability to sit back and listen to what everybody had to say. Then he, of course, would usually come up with some sort of gem that would pretty much solve whatever the issue was and go on from there. I'm not that person, but I do listen and I process. So now I have to process this talk. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? I have 2 weeks. I really need to get going. And I said that many times to Jay. I was like, oh, I need to start working on this talk. So it was an early Monday morning. I woke up, decided to go for a walk. And it was only 70 degrees, which is a rarity on a July morning in Virginia Beach, which is where I live. And so I looked at my phone. High was going to be 78. Now, those of us from Virginia, like July 78 high, I was like, wow, this is a great day for a walk. Go out and have a walk. And so I actually pulled out my phone and looked, because I have different places set on my phone, because I like to compare the weather. And I saw that here at Center Harbor, it was supposed to be 90. But at home, it was only going to be 78. And then, of course, I get distracted by, oh, no, I hope at camp it's not hotter in New Hampshire than it is at home, because I drove all the way up here for this weather, for the New Hampshire weather. And so I've been checking. We're running about average. I mean, about the same right now. I think the last time I looked, it was 72 here and 74 at home. So at least it's a little warmer still at home. But I had to focus back in on my talk. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? So I walked, Billy Joel's in my ears, just singing away, and I processed. So I thought to myself, okay, what are my strengths? How can I make this orientation talk good enough to pull everybody into the program, to get, you know, something new, something that we can do that's a little different? We've heard orientation talks before. So how can I get everybody out of the real world and into camp world? Because that's a big shift for all of us. And I'm sure that many of you have had busy day or days getting ready to come to camp. You have to pack, making sure you have all the necessary clothes for any weather event. That's the thing about Virginia. It's hot in the morning, it's hot in the evening, it's hot at night. So, you know, you live in shorts and t-shirts and things. But here I had to pull out pants and jackets and, oh no, it's going to rain, so we need to make sure we have the umbrellas. All of that we have to get together. So we have to be able to have all of those clothes and all the things we need to make these rustic accommodations our home for the week. And then get it all into the car and then get here. And then, of course, no matter where you're coming from, there's traffic. Always traffic. Mom was telling me she had terrible traffic on 93 coming up today, and there's just the traffic. So all of these things are just busy, 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 and we've been busy. And then we get here, and it's all the hellos. These people we have known for years, one week at a time. So that transition back into, hey, how are you? How have you been for the year? And it's, you know, you haven't seen them since last year. And it's, for me, it's sometimes sort of an awkward thing as we work our way back into our family. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of time. So I walk in and I do my hellos, and I'm thinking about my talk, and I'm thinking about what do I need to do. And then I'm thinking, well, after we get here, then we have to unpack all that stuff we just put into the car and get our cabins or rooms all set up. Again, we're still dealing with the real world. Now we must unwind. And so the orientation talk is a good way to draw us back into this amazing week. So I'm back where I started. All right, what do I say? How do I accomplish this? How do I help a tired group of people, including myself, start to focus on camp and to see how this program is such an amazing, amazing thing? So I went back to the question, what are my strengths? Okay, I love music and I love to sing. It is the way that I show my love for God. It's the way I praise him. It's what moves me. It relaxes me when I'm tense or frustrated. I'm in two choirs at home, the sanctuary choir and the music team, and we practice on Wednesday nights. And it is the perfect time of the week. I've worked for 3 days, and that just gives me that jolt of energy and just sort of just feeds my soul to help me get through the rest of the week. And I wouldn't miss it for anything. I mean, something has to really be going on for me to not get to my choir practice. So singing is very important to me. So then I thought, but the orientation talk, the musical. What do you think? The musical. And what jumped into my head was the Beverly Hillbillies. you know, and it's just like, let me tell you about a story of a man named Glenn, an old teacher in coat who loved the Lord, and then he said CFO is the place you ought to be, so we loaded up the car and headed to Winnie. Prayer groups, speaking leaders, right? No, I came to my senses. I said, no. That is not, I can't do that. No, that is not going to happen. And as my daughter would say, you are welcome. So what else is there? What is another straight? Well, I'm a kindergarten teacher. So you see why Wednesday nights are really important to me to get through Thursday and Friday. It's very important. I like adult interactions, and it's fun to sing songs that don't have numbers and letters and things and have real words. So I know I said I wasn't the talker in the family, and I realize you have to talk to teach. I can't sit back and just listen to five-year-olds all day. Well, I suppose I could. You know, Mrs. Kerr, you know what? Or, Mrs. Kerr, can I tell you something? That could go on all day long. I might learn a few things, but they wouldn't, and I'm sure my principal and their parents would not be happy with that. So talking all day to a group of five-year-olds is completely different than talking to a group of adults, right? It's a completely different thing. Teaching kids letters and numbers and how to read and how to write and do math is easy in comparison, at least from my perspective, to talking to a group of adults, especially about this guy named Glenn Clark and this amazing program and the thing that I've attended and all of that. How am I going to do that? And when Dana first told me about the orientation talk, I really remember him saying 25 to 30 minutes. And then all of a sudden it was 35 to 40 minutes. I was like, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be shorter. Don't worry, I think you're going to get into bed early tonight, because I'm done. So that's just how it's going to be. So back to my processing. In my job, one of my favorite things to do is to read to my students. I sit in my rocking chair, and they sit crisscross on the carpet in front of me, and I hold up the book and read, which, again, is, you know, I'm looking out at the people wearing glasses. You know, progressive lenses, you hold a book up like this, and then all of a sudden you're doing this so that you can actually see the words correctly. It's becoming a little more of a challenge. So the thought came to me, what if I do my talk like I was reading you a story? That would make me feel a little more comfortable. We could discuss how we connect the program. I could write up the lesson plan with all the objectives I need to cover, questions I need to ask. We could talk about how we relate to the characters. We could discuss the sequence of events. We could discuss why we do things in the order that we do them. So I was like, okay. And I got home from my walk and told Jay, I was like, okay, it's going to be a story. And he was what, like Dick and Jane go to CFO or JFO? Is that what it's going to be? I said, well, close. And then I was going to need help because when you're reading a good picture book, you have to have pictures. So I have some pictures. Rebecca helped me put them together. I'm not sure she wants to take credit because I don't know if any of you have read children's books recently, but Mo Willems does this Knuffle Bunny story. And so those of you who know that have the real picture in the back with the cartoons on top, that's what you're getting tonight. So you'll be able to see that. So she helped me get this all put together, and we laughed and laughed and laughed as we put this together. So I'm going to transition from behind this podium to talking to adults to sitting in my rocking chair, and I'm going to get the pictures ready to go and get ready for our story. Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay, good. Is that better? Okay, thank you. All right, so the name of our book is The Wise Old Owl. There he is. So usually when I read a story, I like to give my students something to think about, to sort of listen for, so they can help to connect. So as I go through this, I'd like you to listen for the part of the program that God is sort of nudging you to do a little more in this week. Something a little more than what you've done in the past. Another thing that I teach my kids is when I'm reading, so I don't get interrupted all the time, is if they relate to something that's going on, I say, you know, give me a thumbs up. So if I'm going through this and you're like, oh, yeah, it's okay, just give me a thumbs up. That works. So once upon a time, there was a wise old owl. His name was Glenn. His sole sincere desire was to know God experientially. Well, that's a big word. It means to experience God, to see, to touch, to take part in. This desire kept him looking for a pattern by which this could be accomplished for himself and others. He came up with this idea of a way to make all the animals in the animal kingdom athletes of the spirit. Now, the word athlete means a person who is proficient in sports or good at sports. So proficient, good, athlete. And so you have to train and you have to practice. So this owl came up with a way to train in the way that God would have them do. Besides being a wise old owl, he knew that this would involve the whole animal, body, mind, spirit, and that it could be only learned through actual experience. So he starts us off. The wise old owl knew it was important to start our day by clearing our heads. The animals often wake up and start right into the event of the day or thinking about the events of the day. What do we have to accomplish today? The eyes open for me, the brain turns on, the body screams for coffee, and the race of life begins. The owl knew that if the animals didn't clear their heads and listen to what is around them and for what God would have them do today, they might forget and move on with their own plans. He said, one should first of all stretch the mind to take in God, not so we can control it, but so that we can be aware of God's presence in our life. Not so we can control it. That's one of the things I think about. I like to control things. I like to have my schedule. So not so we can control it, but we can be aware of God's presence in our life. The owls provided the animals with different ways to clear their heads and listen. Some of the animals chose to sit quietly and just listen. The owl right here in front of the meeting house. You can have your silent meditation right there. While other animals chose to sit in a group of animals and listen to the guidance of another animal as they unite together in awareness of the presence of God. The animals needed this practice of being still and connecting to God. This is my area. Because I wrote this, and I know this, and I often sleep through this. And so this is my area that I need to focus on this week. I need to either go to bed earlier or just get up. Anybody else can relate to that? Yes. That is a good way to start the day. I'm often guilty of getting up and just going because you're moving. So this would be my area to focus on. And either you have your morning meditation with a group or by yourself, but whatever it is that works for you to help you sort of focus on what we're going to be doing this week. The owl also knew that training involved the body and that animals would need nourishment to get through this day. So after their minds are cleared and they have listened to what God's leading the animals to do, you get to enjoy the first meal of the day. And off they go. That's the old dining hall. We need to get the picture of the new floor up in there. But some of the animals were wary that the food provided at the watering hole, they were wary of what it was going to be and how it was going to taste, while other animals were just thankful they didn't have to hunt and provide for their families. If I don't have to clean up for it, it's a good meal. That's the way I look at it. Listening to God's leading for us and for the way that the Spirit can work with and through us is an amazing gift. The owl knew that other animals would need a way to show their joy. So to begin the worship, the morning worship, the owl incorporated singing as a way of showing and sharing the heart of joy with those around them. Try and guess who's behind the pictures. That's the best part. So, being a group of animals who lift their voices in praise and thanksgiving will bring them closer together. No matter what noise the animal makes, whether it be the song of the bird or the barking of the dog, the roaring of the lion or the croaking of the frog, the owl knew that if all the different voices were raised together in praise, the sound would be pleasing to God, not to mention fun and energizing. In fact, I think we should take a minute to just really relate to this, because there is no better song to sing to go with my book than Creature Praise. So if you would open your blue book to page 374, we'll be able to experience some of that right now. I'm sorry, 347, thank you.
Large creatures, small creatures, Lord and tall creatures, come now and praise the Lord. Young creatures, old creatures, hot and cold creatures, come now and praise the Lord. Sing praise to the Father, sing praise to the Son, sing praise to the Spirit, who makes all creatures one. Sing praise for the goodness of what the Lord has done. Let all creatures praise the Lord. Low creatures, high creatures, flying in the sky, creatures, come now and praise the Lord. White creatures, brown creatures, all the world around, creatures, come now and praise the Lord. Sing praise to the Father, sing praise to the Son, sing praise to the Spirit, who makes all creatures one. Sing praise for the goodness of what the Lord has done. Night creatures, left and right creatures, come now and praise the Lord. Near creatures, far creatures, anywhere you are, creatures, come now and praise the Lord. Sing praise to the Father, sing praise to the Son, sing praise to the Spirit, who makes all creatures one. Sing
Okay, I said singing helps me feel less tense, so that helped me out too. Makes me a little less nervous. So since we took a little break from our story, let's just review. So the animals started their day with morning meditation, had breakfast and some fellowship, and had a chance to sing their praises to God. So back to our story. The owl knew that the animals would need something to think about, something to process, and see how they can live the way God would have them live. I lost my place. Where was I? Oh, yes. The owl knew that they would need examples. It would have to be something that the animals could relate to. They would need to hear from other animals and hear about their journeys. These animal speakers can share the impact prayer has had on their life and convey the personal experiences of what it means to be an athlete in the spirit. Remember, that means to be good at living a God-centered life. The animals could listen and reflect on the experiences of others. They could see how the experiences may be similar or completely different from their own. They would have a chance to see the journey through and to the kingdom from a different perspective. And as I wrote that, I just kept thinking to myself, God gives us nuggets. I always come away with something from a talk. It may not be the whole talk, it may just be one line, but God gives us nuggets. And so we're listening for the nuggets that God will give us this year and to see what these animals who are going to be speaking to us have for us this week. Smarter than the average bear up there. So at this point, the owl knew it was time to address the physical body again. He had to provide a time to stretch the mind and spirit. And he had provide the time to, he's already provided that. He's provided a time to feed the body. He's given us a chance to sing and to listen. But now we need to work on the physical muscles. They need to show how their physical body can also be in rhythm with God. The owl said that we should worship God with our whole bodies by combining music, dance, and exercise in an uninhibited, meaning not caring what we look like, and childlike giving of themselves in physical praise and worship to God. It's a time to exercise, release, play, and prayer. I know that this is sometimes the hardest part of the program because some people think they can't participate. They can't dance, they can't stand, they can't, you know, participate just because of physical limitations, but there are always the chairs. And there are some great dancing, chair dancing. It's probably one of my best dances is the chair dancing. But you can get there and you can move along. And you can be part of the group even if you're not doing all of the steps. So it's important. I think I, you know, relate to the tiger right there. That's pretty much, So oftentimes, we also need to express what God means to us through visual or audible ways. So the owl provided the animals with a time and day where they could be creative. Creative. Again, this is a time for listening for God and then showing what we hear or feel through pictures, words, or song. The owl knew that every animal had its own way of visually showing what God was telling them or how God was leading them or what God means to them. This time allows for the different type of worship and prayer. Whether you're doing the creative arts or the writing or the singing, the owl knew it was important to be able to express yourself. So after this creative outlet, the animals got to go back to the watering hole for more nourishment. And back they go. The power of God is amazing. As with any exercise program, our physical bodies need rest. Our minds also need rest. The owl knew that the animals would need a time to reflect on the morning activities and let God work within us. The owl placed a rest time or horizontal hour in the day to provide the animals with a break from the going and interacting.
a chance for a nap, or some time to simply lay down and relax in the presence of our Almighty God. I can relate. And sometimes an hour is not enough for me, so I have to spend a little more time in the presence of our Almighty God in my napping time. So after the animals had a chance to rest, the owl knew that the animal had its own specific needs. Some animals needed to fly, while others needed to run. Others needed to play or swim. Some animals needed to move in flocks, and others just needed to roam freely. The owl provided time for each animal to be free to do what it needed to do. The owl knew that God had provided a specific place for these animals to gather and join in this practice of becoming athletes of the Spirit, and that each animal should have time to explore this beautiful place and see the wonders of God. There is something about this place, isn't there? All of our wonderful things. Gotta have the ice cream store. I didn't realize it was gonna be open like all day. This is pretty exciting. Well, I know many of us would love recess to continue all day, but there's work to do. So now we're back to our story. The animals must now be brought back together and focus on the training. The basis for a true relationship with God is prayer. The owl knew that the animals needed a time to focus and practice prayer. They need to prepare themselves for their prayer experience. The prayer preparation part of the day allows for this realignment with God. Whoops. They gather at the meeting house, come together. They look so happy. Once the animals have had a chance to realign and focus on God, they get together in small groups. The owl knew that prayer should be for the spirit exactly what calisthenics or exercise or workouts should be for the body. Something to keep one in tune, fit, vital, efficient, and constantly ready for the next problem of life. God would put the animal into groups that he knew they needed to be in for the week. The other animals who needed to help them through their prayer journey. The owl knew if we approach God in an attitude of patient anticipation, openness, and receptivity, helpful ideas would come fully developed. The owl tells us that prayer is the foundation of the camp experience, and it involves silent prayer, spoken prayer, prayer for individual concerns, and group prayer. Because we have learned that God truly answers prayers, we take everything to him readily and with confidence. The primary purpose of prayer groups is to seek God and experience his loving presence, to let go of our needs and listen for his guidance. We take the principles of his relinquishment or letting go, the principles of relinquishment, forgiveness, agreement, joyous expectancy, trust, and giving thanks, and we bring them to life. We choose our prayer groups by picking a card out of a basket. Is that still true, Carol? Is that what we're going to do? Okay, good. I always walk up to the basket, and I just say, God, I know you will place me in the group where I need to be this week. Then I pick my card and look forward to what will happen in prayer groups this week. Do you see the leader? The praying mantis. I know. Rebecca and I laughed for a long time on that one. She wanted to fill all the chairs with praying mantises. And I was like, no, all animals, everybody is involved. So after a meaningful prayer time, the animals head back to the watering hole where food and fellowship abound. Then the animals get together to begin the evening worship. The owl, an animal after my own heart, knew how important singing praise to God is, so he provided two opportunities to lift our voices to God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was just hard to cover the people. Songs provide us with an opportunity to stand and move and clap. Songs can lift our spirits and make us laugh, or they can bring us to tears. They can make our get us moving, our toe tapping. We can clap, or we can just get goosebumps. There are songs that we can't help but sing along to, and others where we focus on the words as they, we are led by a singer. Again, this is a way to focus our hearts and minds on God. I'm sure that everyone can think of a song that has moved them in one way or another. I mentioned that I sing in the sanctuary choir, and one of the songs we do is called How Can I Keep From Singing? That pretty much sums it up. How can I keep from singing? It's just there. It just has to come out. And so there are times that I just can't stop singing. And then you think about, Sarah, I'm glad you shared your little verse about when you sing, you're praying twice. I think about that because there's just been a line of a song, you know how it gets stuck in your head, and it goes on and on and on and on, and it's just over and over. And that's the way it has been with me these past 2 weeks since I've been working on this talk. And it's that the song, I know Vacation Bible School does it a lot, but it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Does anybody know this song? And it's just, that's the only part that I was stuck in my head. It just kept going over and over and over and over. And so, again, that's like a prayer. I mean, just a reminder. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And it just, again, just walking across the field today back to the cabin. There it was again. Maybe when I'm done, it'll be gone. But that's it. That's just sort of what's been going on in my head. So then the animals have a chance to hear from a different animal in the animal kingdom. There we go. And they have a chance to share their journey through and to the kingdom, a second chance to hear what God has been and continues to do in our hearts, in the life of one of the fellow animals. And it's amazing to me the conversation that comes from these talks. Again, those nuggets. There's something in it for everybody. So the owl knew that if the animals repeated these activities for several days, the animals would be on their way to becoming athletes of the spirit. The end. So can you, thank you. You can relate. So can you see how following the program can help us become more centered on God in our lives? We know that we are not alone. We are right back here. And again, now it feels like we never left. We're here with our family, whether they be blood relatives or they be the people that we have known, in my case, most of my life. And we know that God has placed the people in this room to help us through this training. And God has placed us in this room to help somebody else. We may not know what it is we're supposed to do this week. We may not know what we did this week when we leave. That's not for us to know, but something we've done and said or just an action may have changed somebody's life somehow or interacted with them in some way, and sometimes it's just not for us to know. I was thinking, I was looking through Facebook, and there was this thing that I'm sure some of you have seen. If we can, for those of you who do puzzles, if we can trust the puzzle company to put all 500 pieces in the box, why can't we trust God to put all of our pieces together? You know, it's just, to me, if you do a puzzle, you don't stop and go, let me count to make sure they're all here first. You just start to put the pieces together.
And I think this week is that experience. We're putting another piece of the puzzle. We may not see how our piece goes with the rest of the pieces of our lives yet. But God does. He's got it. He's got it. He's got what we need. So I cannot wait to see what God has in store for us this week. I know we will be amazed. Now, of course, after a good story, it's off to bed. But before we do that, we have our 8:58. Yay! We have our 9 o'clock prayer. And after we say our prayers before bed, I think we get a little snack. We still do the afterglow. You get a snack, and then we get to go and rest up as we head into our JFO program and move on to see what God has in store for us this week. So if you'd please stand and join hands.
Thy kingdom come.